And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to talk about idols this morning. What are idols? What are idols? Deuteronomy chapter 4 has something to say about idols and keeping ourselves from them. Ken Sandy defines an idol as not simply a statue of wood or stone or metal. It is anything we love and pursue in place of God. An idol is anything that we love and pursue in the place of God, and can also be referred to as a false god or as a functional god. In biblical terms, an idol is something other than God that we set our hearts on, that motivates us, that masters or rules us, or that we serve. This is Ken Sandy on an idol. It's also said that an idol is something within creation that is inflated to function as God. An idol is something in creation that is inflated to function as God. So let us read from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's start in verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Oh, and by the way, in verse 4, it says that these statutes have kept you, because you've listened to the Lord, you are alive. Right? Because you listened to the Lord your God in coming out of Egypt, and you passed through the water, you are alive because you listened to God and you obeyed Him. So keep that in mind. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Right? Lest you forget that you saw the sea swallow up the Egyptians who were pursuing you. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with a darkness of clouds and a thick darkness. And when the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only heard a voice. You saw no image, they saw no God, they saw no person, they only heard the voice of the Lord. And Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 20 said unto the people, because the people saw this, and they shrank back. And they said to Moses, no, you go. Don't let him speak to us directly. Don't let the Lord, our God, speak to us directly, lest we die. But you hear what he has to say, and then you tell us. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. For God has come to prove you. He's come to test you. And that his fear may be before your faces, that you may sin not. You see, God wants us to fear Him so that we would not sin. He wants us to not sin so that we'll stay alive. God wants us to live. God loves you. Continuing on in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And He wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw not no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Now listen, take heed, verse 16, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl in the that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto the heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, and even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them, not God. The psalmist in Psalm 8 is driven, as he sees the expanse of the heavens, is driven to worship God. Not the stars, not the moon. But he's driven to, this man sees them, and he's driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto the nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace. This is Egypt, the iron furnace. Even out of Egypt to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Now skip to verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he hath made you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. This is the word of God. And we are exhorted at least four things here in these verses. But first of all, it's to heed the statutes of God. Heed the covenant which he has given to us. And the reason why we are to heed these things is in verse 16. To keep from making idols. To keep us from making idols and worshiping other things. Making gods out of other things. Elevating other things in creation and making them as God. Treating them as God. Secondly, we're to teach our children about what God has done and his statutes. You see, our children are worthy of these things. They're worthy to understand these things, the statutes of God, the promises of God, the hope and the salvation that we have in God. Our children are worthy to understand what happened to their fathers as they walked through the Red Sea. They're worthy to understand that story. Why? That they might love God and see that he has preserved a people for himself, but also to fear him, that they would not sin, to keep them from sinning. Does anybody here want your children to go sin? Is that a desire of your heart? No. So we teach them about the statutes of God. And we instruct them. Not only do we teach them biblical history, but we teach them personal history. What has God done for you this week? What has God done to you this week? Do we speak of these things in our house? Do you have reason to be here this morning, to praise God, to worship him, other than the fact that you are commanded to be here? Do you have reason to be here? Is it your heart's cry to want to be here? Do you get up in the morning and say, oh, praise God, it's Sunday. We get to go worship, right? We get to go worship God. God did this week. And he did this last week. And not only that, he has saved you. He has promised you an inheritance in the future. God is so good. Family, let's get up and go worship God. Let's be early to worship God. Let's prepare and be early. We are so excited to worship God. Let's go. Let's be early. Let's get the best seat in the house and worship him. Is that the cry of your heart? If not, I hope it is. I hope God changes your heart, that he would make you excited to be here to worship. For some, it seems like it's, oh, I need four more cups of coffee right? You're here, you're a little tired from the week. I get that. But we're here and we're worshiping God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And not only that, but you get to be with the body of Christ, the saints of God, in doing so. And so it's a great day. It is a great day. Heed His statutes and keep from worshiping other things. Right? And teach your children what God has done in His statutes. Is God real in your family? Are there tangible things that God has done that your children can see that He is real? They can't see God. God is a spirit. But do they see His spirit moving in your home? Do you speak of His spirit and proclaim that that was a work of God? Do you do these in your home? I encourage you, if not, to do that. Another thing is, if those who influence your children lightly esteem God, your children will perhaps learn to lightly esteem God. Right? Your children are influenced by yourselves, by their friends, by others. And if these are people who lightly esteem God, it's likely that they will learn to lightly esteem God. And that will go against this teaching that we're commanded to do. We don't want God to esteem our children lightly, do we? We want God to highly esteem our children. Jesus highly esteemed our children. Thirdly, we are prone to wander and worship other things. Or, as we learn in Deuteronomy, to serve other things and to lie prostrate before other things. To humiliate ourselves before other things. What things draw you away from worshiping and trusting God? What things draw you away from worshiping and trusting God? Is it your past? Are you bitter? Do you have a relationship that has stirred up some bitterness in you that you just can't let go of? I'd submit to you that that would keep you from worshiping God and obeying Him. Do you have a strong love for something that keeps you from the Lord? That keeps you from relating with and being with the Lord? Do you have something else that when it calls, you beckon? You say, "Here I am, idol," right? Instead of, "Here I am, Lord." We have to actively turn away from these things. And we have to actively turn toward the Lord. These other things are beckoning. They are calling unto you. And men, we have to say no. Children, mothers, daughters, sons, we have to say no to these things. We have to tune these things out. And we have to say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm going to turn my ears towards You, Lord. Here I am. Hear me." Maybe you idolize the approval and the praise of men more than God. And let me just remind you that the approval and the praise of men will only last as long as you live. It will only last as long as you live, and you will not get that approval and the praise of men in hell. It's not found there. Men will be too busy screaming and crying. You will not find the approval of men in hell. So, seek the approval of God. Young people, hear me on this. Look at me. All of you, look at me. Everyone, look at me. Seek to please God and not men. Fear God and not men. Did you hear me? I hope you heard me on that one. As an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that I fear more than you walking away from the Lord and fearing man more than God. Because what I see as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ is an eternal soul that will be destined to hell. That's what keeps me up at night. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep Okay, all we like sheep, not just some, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That doesn't seem fair, does it? That is just so not fair. We turn away from God, we are led away from God, and yet God lays upon Jesus Christ all of our sins. That is just not fair. Life is not fair. God is more gracious to us than perhaps He should be. He is more gracious to us than what we deserve. That is not fair. It is not fair that Jesus should atone for our sins while we turn away from Him. And fourthly, we need to repent of our golden calves. You know, as Moses was up on Sinai receiving the commandments of the Lord, the children of Israel became a little anxious. And so they made a golden calf, didn't they? They couldn't even wait for him to get back. They saw the presence of the Lord before them. And they couldn't even wait that long. But we're just like them. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn each to our own way, don't we? And so we need to, as we repent of this, we need to remember that God is near. Jesus is near. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is with us, family. He has not departed from us. Even though you cannot see Him, He is with us. Remember His salvation from verse 20. We need to remember what God has done. He brings us out of the hot furnace of Egypt. He is bringing us out of the fiery furnace of hell. We need to remember His salvation. Isaiah 53:6, that the Lord hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Our sin has been transferred to Him. So remember His salvation. We need to do things actively to turn toward God. So as we turn toward God, we do this generationally too, because we're to teach our children these things as well, and our children's children. We need to put more energy in looking, or I'm sorry, we seem to put more energy in looking away from God than we do to Him. We tend to seek what we must do to please God. And this is Pastor Swanson's analogy of splitting the wood. How much wood must I split to please my dad? And our Father is the kind of Father that says, "I love you anyway. No matter how much wood you split." It's not about how much wood you split. It's about, do you love your Father? And you don't get hot cocoa because you split wood. You get hot cocoa because your Father loves you. And He cares for you. So we tend to put more energy into looking away from Him than toward Him. We want to see how much wood we have to split so then we can go and do whatever it is that we want to do. How much wood do I need to stack before I can go do what I want to do? And the question we need to ask is, okay, the wood split, Dad. Is there anything else I can do? Anything else I can do? What would you like for me to do next, Lord? What would you have me to do next? The world is quite attractive. And we want to rush through these boxes and check them so that we can go and have fun with the world and feast upon the world. You know, we have this fly tape in our house, in our kitchen. It hangs from a light, and it's this sticky, nasty tape. And there are so many flies on that tape, and I wonder what is it that makes the flies stick to the tape. Well, there's a little bit of sweet in the stickiness, but all you have to do is get a couple on there, And then it just gets better. Why? Because the flies, they smell that little bit of sweet. And then they land on there. And then it's like, oh, and as they try to get off, then they push off with the other. And, oh, and they're even more stuck. And so they're sitting there buzzing and humming, making noise. And the other flies, oh, what's that sound? Oh, I smell some sweet. Oh, cool. Let's go over there. And it happens again. And again. And again. And I watched one this morning fly around the room. I tried to spot him a few times, but I missed. And where'd he go? He went to the fly tank. He heard all his buddies going, bzz, bzz, bzz. And so that's where he wanted to go. And they'll be sitting there going bzz, 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 until they die. And they'll just die right there. There's no poison in there because they don't want to make it toxic for us. But that's the way the world is. Isn't it? You see your buddies go after the world and you think it's so good and that's the place to be. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Oh, it's great. Right? But little do you know that when you land there, you're going to die. You're going to die. And so this is what the Word of God does. It warns you. Fear God. We don't want you to die. Fear the fly tape. Right? Fear the fly tape. God is a jealous God, a consuming fire. He gets angry when we turn away from Him. And some of us respond to this. How dare He? The gall of God to get angry when He turns away from us. Well, ladies, does it please you that your husbands might get a little fiery if there's a man that is seeking to act as a husband to you? I mean, isn't it sort of right that your husband wouldn't be, I don't care. Why? Because he values you. He's jealous because he values you. Our God values you. He holds you in high regard, so much so that when you turn away from him, he becomes jealous and angry. And so you need to see that as him loving you. And so my exhortation to you this morning is to esteem God highly. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. 1 John 5:20 through 21. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. So parents, teach your children that they may know Him that is true. That they might be able to say, there's the Messiah. There's Jesus. That's Him. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. All of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, O Lord, for Christ. We thank You that He has been revealed to us. And I pray, O Lord, for this congregation, that we together would seek Him, that we would know Him, that we would desire to be in His presence, that we would desire to have a relationship with Him, that we would not be busy about being on the fringes of the church, but that we would be sitting next to our Savior, that we would not be busy about looking for what other things we can do to please ourselves. But, Father, that we would be more busy and more intent and more focused in teaching our children and ourselves how we can move toward God and not away from You. How can we sit closer to You, Lord Jesus? Oh, Lord, would that we have the faith to touch Your cloak, to pursue You, to touch You. Father, that this would be the desire. That we would know that contentment and joy comes from You, O God. And Father, we can't be gratified enough with the things that this world has to offer. We are never satisfied. And we pursue the world, and it becomes like a toilet bowl effect. like in Romans 1. And then we find ourselves lost in the blackness of the sewer, without knowing which direction is up or down, which way we ought to go to follow You. Father, we pray, O God, that You would pull our hearts out of the toilet, out of the sewer. Father, would You lift our heads, that You would consume us, that You would consume our thoughts, that You would consume our desires. I pray that our desires would be Your desires. First, I pray that we would just desire You. And I pray, God, for those who are among us who have a hard heart, who shake their fist at You, O God, and proclaim that, O God, You are hard, and I will not follow You. I pray that You would soften them. I pray that You would draw them by the cleansing blood and the power of Jesus Christ, understanding the weight of their sin. And Father, understanding that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and none of us will escape His judgment. Father, I pray that You would invoke a little fear. I pray, O God, that Your Spirit would work and draw men young and old to Yourself, women young and old to Yourself. Oh, Father, we pray that we would be able to wake up and not see how hard You are and how heavy the yoke is around our neck, but that we would wake up and see Your new mercies, for they are new indeed every morning. We find ways which You have loved us that we do not deserve. We have found ways which You have cared for us. Father, help us be ones who look for these things and not look at how harsh You are, how mean You were when You swallowed those Egyptians up in the water. Oh, that seems such a mean thing. But Father, these men rejected You. They hated You with all their heart. And Father, might we not be ones who sympathize with God-haters, but might we be ones who love You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Oh, Father, I pray that we would love You. And I pray that You would keep us from idols. And Father, we confess to You that we have turned to our own way. We have turned toward idols. We make idols. Idols of the heart, idols of the flesh. Oh, Father, would that we have the faith to turn from these, to reject these, to say no to these, and to say yes to You, to turn from these things and follow You. I pray, God, You would forgive us for how we have, as Calvin once said, that our hearts are little factories of idols. They just crank out idols day in and day out. Father, I pray that we would repent of these things. We confess to You that we have made idols and we have worshipped other gods, because we don't understand Your statutes. We do not speak of You in our houses as we ought. We don't have Your word upon our doorposts. And Father, I pray that Your word would dwell richly in these homes. And Father, I pray that the power of God would consume us, as You are a consuming fire. God, we repent of these things and we thank You for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord and the blood that He shed, as our sin was laid upon Him. All of it, not part of it, all of it, all of our sin was laid upon Him. And Father, now we take a moment to confess our sins individually.